Welcome into Negative or Positive Vibes. CJ Nikowski and Ryan Spielborg's here with you, recapping the Rookie of the Year awards that came out just yesterday. And we get those news last night. Spiller will start on the National League side. A little disagreement, at least for me, on this one. Paul Skeens is your winner. Jackson Merrill, second place. Jackson Churio in third place. Great news for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they did a great job with Paul Skeens. No two ways about it. Big moment for their organization. Nice development story, draft story for them. But I was a little bit surprised, but you seem like the idea and probably well-deserved for Paul Skeens, who is now the Rookie of the Year in the National League for 2024.
I know it's not supposed to be a popularity contest, but I think for the popularity of baseball, for Paul Skeens to win this is pretty important, you know, to have arguably one of the most marketable players besides Shohei Ohtani win a Rookie of the Year. We also know that he has this crazy baseball card. It's the one of one MLB debut patch. So that the value of this card is probably going to be over $1 million. It's basically, you know, looking for the golden ticket. And that card is out there. So it's available. Topps. It's an updated Chrome 2024 set that just came out about 2 weeks ago. I think beyond that, though, you think of the historical numbers of what Skeens did. You know, he was the number one overall pick in 2023. This is his first full season, began the year in the minor leagues. I hear you when it comes to, you know, not having enough starts, maybe not enough innings. But in his case, these were things that were out of his hands. He couldn't control when the Pirates were going to call him up. And honestly, he was, you know, he benefited from being on a six-man rotation. But the numbers are ridiculous. CJ, 1.96 ERA, sub-2 ERA, 11-3, 23 starts, 133 innings, 170 punchouts. Crazy numbers. Those are crazy, ridiculous numbers. Wins above replacement, nearly a 6-win player. You know, to go back and think about how dominant he was to major league hitters, he had an incredible year. And if the Pirates didn't push him down the stretch, CJ, I don't think he wins Rookie of the Year. So I give the credit to the Pirates organization as far as pushing him enough and not shutting him down in September to help him win an award.
Yeah, they did a really good job. And hopefully this is going to be the standard going forward with some pitchers. I get why it may not be. He's a big, strong guy. He's a special generational talent. You can't deny that. But they also were very careful about how they spread it out, right? It was 23 starts for him at the big league level. He came up, what was it, mid-May, May 11th was when he made that first start, went 4 innings. They were very careful with pitch counts. We did see him hit the 100 mark a few times, maxing out at 107. But they also spread out his starts. And the thing that I found in the research for me, and this is why I don't agree that Paul Skeens should be the Rookie of the Year, is that he made 0 starts on regular rest. Starts on regular rest. So he did not have one single start where he had what we would call the standard 4 days rest in between starts. Now that has changed. You're going to get your Cy Young Award winner very likely in the National League in Chris Sale, who did not make very many starts at all, just a handful, if that. On regular rest because they were being careful with a guy who was coming off an injured season, has a history of injuries, and it worked out really well for the Braves, and it made some sense. But it was interesting to see, I think, the way that the Pirates did. Again, I love what they did from a developmental standpoint. The thing that I was a little bit concerned about when you start thinking about this award is the path to get there. What Jackson Merrill did compared to Paul Skeens for me was a much more difficult path in what he did. Once this year in the regular season did he have back-to-back days off, where Paul Skeens not one single time made start on regular rest. So the Pirates, again, really nice job, and he's a special generational talent, but it's also they made it as easy as they possibly could. Yeah, they let him make starts late in the year, which I was very happy that they did, but they, you know, they made it, nothing's easy in the big leagues, but they made it as easy as possible, where Jackson Merrill had to learn a new position in spring training. He goes and plays a premium position in center field and does it extremely well for a championship caliber team who could not afford to give him time off. Right. And I didn't go look at any bad stretches that he had, but if he had an 0 for 15 or an 0 for 20 in there, it wasn't like, okay, let's give this guy a little bit of a breather. No, we need you out there. We need to win. You're going to have to figure it out. I think his path was a lot tougher. It's always difficult to be able to compare pitchers and position players. But for me, Jackson Merrill had the much tougher path to do it in a season in which he started at 20 years old. I feel like he had the better rookie campaign.
Yeah, and I it's hard to disagree with you, especially as a former position player. I value guys that play every single day, so much. And to your point, I mean, I got to know Jackson Merrill a little bit over the course of this year, covering him for both Rockies when we saw the Padres and doing some Apple games where I got to interview him. This kid's from back east. He grew up a big Red Sox fan. His mom and his dad instrumental in his growth. His swing reminds me a lot of Freddie Freeman. He has that move. To be 20 years old to start the year and then turn 21 mid-April also goes to show you, if you had any opinions of Manny Machado, Machado was a huge influence on Jackson Merrill this year, especially because Machado experienced it too himself when he was in Baltimore when he was a young rookie. So it's hard to disagree with you about Jackson Merrill getting hosed here and not getting the award where, you know, Skeens was babied, right? You have one guy that got thrown into the fire, and then you have the big guy that feels like the organization babied him and he got this award and it wasn't justified based on the amount of output one player did versus another. Let me ask you this then, CJ, if you had the choice right now, you want Jackson Merrill or Paul Skeens on your team? You have to pick one.
Yeah, it's easy. Paul Skeens. He's going to be the better player. He's going to be the more impactful player. He can start game one of a postseason for you and shut down a really good lineup. And I like Jackson Merrill a ton, but in the long term here, I think that we're going to see a healthy Paul Skeens, of course, is the one part of the one caveat, but he is going to be more impactful, I think, in a big way. We're in a good spot. We got really good young players, but that's the part that me, it's a little interesting. And I won't even agree with saying babied, because they still pushed him the whole year. There were other teams that would have probably shut him down in September that would have even more so done it. The other thing that stinks for the Padres is they lose out on what they call the PPI draft pick, the prospect promotion incentive, because yep. Jackson Merrill made the team out of spring training. Had he won the award, the San Diego Padres would have got a first, right after the first round, would have got a draft pick. Paul Skeens did not start the year in the big leagues, and understandably so. But because of that, the Pirates don't get a pick. So it kind of defeats the purpose of, you know, the Padres make this really tough decision to have him start the season in the big leagues. But yet at the same time, they don't get rewarded for a guy who probably put up, I think, the better rookie year. But it wasn't close. 23 first place votes for Paul Skeens, just 7 for Jackson Merrill in the inverse there on the second place vote. So it really was a no contest. It was those two. Jackson Churio had 26 third place votes. Shota Imanaga had got himself 4 third place votes. So those are your 4 that showed up on the National League. In the American League, a lot closer and very interesting. Luis Gil is your winner from the New York Yankees with 15 first place votes. Colton Cowser comes in second with 13 first place votes. So just 2 votes separating those guys. What jumped off the page for me is that Luis Gil, when you look at the first, second, and third place votes, only got 26 votes. Colton Cowser, first, second, third, got 26 votes. Excuse me, 27. So we actually got 1 more vote when you total the top 3 votes, but not enough of the first place votes. It was a total of 5 points because of those extra 2 first place votes. Very interesting there. 4 total players got first place votes. Mason Miller of the A's, Kate Smith of the Guardians as well. Austin Wells finished in third. We debated that on our radio show, Loud Outs, on MLB Network Radio, and it was pretty close. And I thought he could have very easily been 5th or 6th. And when you look at the 7 players that got votes, you could see why from 3 to 7, you're pretty much mixing and matching and could have gone in any order. Your WAR leader on the Baseball Reference side, and Wyatt Langford, finished 7th. He had 1 second place vote and 4 third place votes. But when we look at what happened at the very top, Spilly, this one was very close. I think you could argue either one of these guys deserved to win it. But it's Luis Gil by 2 first place votes and 5 total points over Colton Cowser.
And we felt too, when it came to this vote, it was a little bit, I don't want to say underwhelming, but there wasn't a true standout. I mean, if Colton Cowser was measured up against Jackson Merrill, it's a no contest. If it was up against Jackson Churio, no contest. You know, if Skeens against Luis Gil, no contest. It's not even close. So, you know, the American League was a little bit more watered down. And Luis Gil also, you know, a couple of years older than Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens and older than Colton Cowser. So I felt like this one, you know, the story of Luis Gil in this year, you know, he already made a couple starts in years past, but he was coming back from injury, ends up being a steal of a trade for the Yankees. They traded Jake Cave from their system to the Minnesota Twins, and Cave was good with the Twins. But yeah, Luis Gil, congratulations. It's awesome. It's a nice award for him. I think they get some bonus player money from winning these awards, but It's one of those years. I think we'll be 10 years down the road and you'll be like, hey, CJ, who won the 2024 Rookie of the Year in the American League? And we're going to have to really guess, because I don't think it's not going to be memorable.
No, I'm terrible at remembering that stuff anyway. Like, I have to really think hard about who even won on either side last year. Got to work on the memory a little bit. But it was a good year for Luis Sealy. Also had a couple of starts in the postseason, one in the championship series, one in the World Series, a combined 8 innings to give up 6 runs in the World Series for him. Of course, the New York Yankees end up losing that to the Los Angeles Dodgers. One last point real quick before we wrap things up here. The qualifying offer, we talked about it a lot, $21.05 million. 13 players were offered it, 12 rejected it. It ended up being Nick Martinez. The trend continues, Spilly, where most players are not going to accept this. Just under 10%, 9.7% of players have accepted. But Nick Martinez was kind of in that weird spot for the Cincinnati Reds. He finished in the rotation, pitched really well, but you wondered whether or not, sure, he could get better than $21 million in the open market, but not for 1 year. His annual average value was going to be lower than that. He decided to go ahead and take it. Very interesting for him. Very interesting for the Reds. Because he now represents 10% of their payroll, which you just can't help but wonder. I take that back, 20% of their payroll, right? Because they're 20% of their payroll. And I like Nick Martinez a lot, but the way the Reds are built, it makes you wonder how this thing is going to play out. If he's actually going to be there, if they're going to trade him, I don't know. But that is a lot of money to pay a starter who's going to slide into maybe your third, fourth spot in your rotation.
That I think this was, if there's been a mistake from the Reds front office, it just happened. That was offering Nick Martinez a qualifying offer, because with him accepting it, to your point, it's going to be really hard to move if you're going to trade him to get any sort of in-kind deal as a return. He's now probably at best your third starter. So $21 million in a very small market for your third starter. And then beyond that, I mean, you almost have to figure out a way to extend him and water down the contract a little bit so you can save some face here. Because if you gave him the qualifying offer, he plays just this year, and then he walks at the end of the season without trading him.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's bad. That is really, really bad. And Nick Kroll's been really good. Yeah. But this one would be a bad, bad deal for the Reds if they get no value.
Yeah, and it's not like they're desperate for pitching either. That's the weird thing for the Reds. It's one thing if you were desperate for pitching, but we'll see how it plays out. An extension certainly would work out well, but Nick Martinez might just say, screw you, I'm going to take my $21 million, and I'll hit the free agent market again next year. Again, he was very good. Didn't start the whole year. Hasn't had really that opportunity in a while to go wire to wire as a starter, but he pitched so well down the stretch that it seems like he will get that opportunity. The big question now, is it with the Reds, or will it be with somebody else, or will it be under a new contract? That's going to do it for us. We appreciate it, as always, you listening to Negative Four, Positive Vibes. Have a great day wherever you